either reserve. You're listening to Leaders.com. Leaders.com.
السلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers and mothers and sisters listening at home, we have completed the 12th para covering Surah Yusuf. Inshallah ta'ala, we begin with the opening verses of the 13th para of Surah Yusuf. Alhamdulillah, the Kalam of Allah, Quran Kareem, there is so much information, knowledge, hidayat, important lessons to take in every word of the Quran. And so inshallah, just the few points that remain we will cover also. In the last lesson, we mentioned that Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, the prophets go through this difficulty in this world and trials and tribulations are at the highest level for Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Why? That reason was also explained. But again, in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that difficulty that comes to a person, any kind of pain, trauma, a test, that is of two types. One is pain that is outwardly and one that is pain that is inwardly. Pain that is inwardly, that breaks your heart, that gives you pain in the heart. And scholars have mentioned that in the world today, a lot of people have their eyes only upon the outwardly pain, the physical pain that is inflicted. So sometimes when a person is being tortured, or sometimes a person, Allah save us, had an accident and there is some injury to the body, so there is a lot of pain. A person needs to go for an operation, there is a lot of pain. Sometimes you will see that that pain is something that we notice very, very quickly. But in reality, the greatest form of pain is the pain that hits the heart. The pain that hits the heart. The pain that gives you grief in the heart. That pain sometimes is so difficult to cope with that if you ask many people in this world why they would want to commit suicide, is because of this. It's not because of an injury that is outside. It is not because of a disability that they might have. But they go as far as thinking that, you know what, I should kill myself, Allah save us. And that is because of the grief, the anxiety, the difficulty, the pain that enters the heart. So that is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's pain was the highest form of pain. The highest form of pain. And when you love somebody, you can't actually see any kind of pain on that individual. That is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last days, Allah's Nabi had fever. Allah's Nabi had fever. Bukhar tha. And she says that I have never witnessed anyone to have fever like the fever of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that it was extremely painful for him. Why would she say this? Because of that very high level of love that is inside her. Bari muhabbat thi. So when you also have love, it becomes very unbearable. It becomes very, very unbearable. And so talking about difficulty, talking about pain, the Quran says that this is only for you in this world. The Quran says this is only for you in this world. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when a person enters Jannah, inshaAllah, when a person enters paradise, the first thing that is taken out from him is la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. What does that mean? That there is no khawf, fear for him, and there is no huzn, any kind of grief for that person. What is the difference between khawf and huzn? Scholars have mentioned, khawf is your outwardly pain and difficulty that you face. What is it? Outwardly, the difficulty that comes to you. Any kind of difficulty outwardly that is apparent that you can see, that is visible. And huzn, huzn is something to do with the heart. Something to do with the... Now, huzn is not visible. Sometimes you will see someone and you will think that, oh, you know what? This man has got a very good life. This man has got a very good life. Or whatever, outwardly you see. But only Allah knows what is inside. Only Allah knows what is inside. And so huzn in Arabic is that pain that enters the heart. And khawf is that which is outwardly. So the Quran says in Jannah, both will be taken out. You will never have any kind of pain outwardly, any fear, nothing at all. You won't be scared of your wife. You won't be scared of your wife. You won't have no problem. What can I say? Let me give you this example. So you people laugh a bit. You know, when you come, you're so serious. So, a bit of humor. And there will not be any huzn, no gham. Somebody might be eating, drinking, but he's going through that difficulty inside. He has to pay his debt. He has fikr. What will happen to my daughter? He has fikr. If I can't do this, this will happen. Somebody's got a case. Allah knows. Allah saying, somebody, the doctor is saying, look, we don't know what the results are. Possibly you might have this, you might not have this disease. Allah says. But from then, from that period of time, you see a person comes inside him. You give him a nice cake to eat, you give him the best food to eat, he can't eat. He can't eat. Why can't you eat? Come on, let's go to the best places for holiday. He's not enjoying it there. The best locations of the world, he's not happy. Why? Huzn. What is it? Huzn. So different people have huzn inside them for different reasons. Generally, the common man will have huzn that is connected to dunya. What is it? Connected to this world. But a messenger and a prophet, his level of huzn is so high. That is why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no pain is like the pain given to me. No pain is like the pain given to me. People don't understand that. In 23 years, what pain can be given? Allahu Akbar. That one level of pain, the intake of that huzn of a Nabi was so powerful, and that huzn was the fact that he was so eager that all of the people should enter Jannah. All of the people should enter Jannah. And why should anyone decline Islam? This pain. Why should someone not understand that you worship only one Allah? And that pain was a pain that would suffocate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely. And so when you enter Jannah, remember, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم, you will always and always be happy. Allah. How beautiful is that, my respected brothers? You will never feel pain. You will not even understand. Subhanallah. Anxiety, no depression, no problem, no nothing. Subhanallah. You will just be happy. And that place and venue is only a place of complete enjoyment. As long as you have done the works in this dunya, Allah give us all the tawfiq. So my respected brothers and elders, this is a very important lesson for us to learn. That is why in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we see that Yaqub alayhi salam became blind. He became blind. Slowly he became blind by crying, and that huzn was the huzn for his son. What was it? The Nabi of Allah, Yusuf. That huzn was the huzn of his son Yusuf alayhi salam. What a trial that was for this great Nabi. That is why Allah save us. Our scholars have mentioned the most difficult pain you can give anyone is when children disobey their parents. That pain is very unbearable for the mother and father. What is it? They don't realize it. They don't realize it. They will say whatever they want to say, and they will do whatever they want to do. They will mock, they will... You know, sometimes, especially nowadays in this modern world, Allahu Akbar, sometimes we can't even dream of saying certain things to your parents. Today you'll find children just speak that out very casually. They will just utter that, not even realizing the consequences, that what am I saying? So this pain that is given to parents, that is also very, very unbearable. It is called prison. And so that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah save us. A person really needs to take control of this. Allah give us all the tawfiq. We are different to the people who don't have iman. They don't have the sharia. They don't have the laws. They don't have the hidayat, the guidance that is there, what to do and what not to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders. And then furthermore, we see in the story of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, that when the guard came and said that you are free now to go, Yusuf alayhi salam declined. No, I'm not with you. He declined, he didn't want to go. Why did he decline? Number one, again, important lessons for us to learn, is that he wanted to make sure that he is acquitted from blame 100%. Completely exonerated. No blame for him. Nobody should have any doubt thereafter. So he said, no, I'm not going to go. Now he is not going to go, make sure that first go. And he says, مَا بَعْضُ مِسْوَةِ اللَّهِ كَطَعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ. That look, you know, go and ask the king to ask the ladies who had severed their hands, who cut their hands. Now again, look at the akhlaq of Yusuf alayhi salam. How beautiful are the akhlaq. That he did not directly involve the governor's wife. She is the one to be blamed. She is the one who did everything. But he did not even mention her. Why? Because the Quran says, "Hal jaza'ul ihsan illal ihsan." The family of the governor himself, and even Zulaykha, she did a great favor to him. She looked after Yusuf alayhi salam. He was given, you know, this royal treatment. He lived in the palace. He was a rich man. Everything was provided. Food was provided. Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam had a very good upbringing. He was well looked after. That ihsan of that family, what was it? So because of one defect in a woman, he did not want to embarrass the lady. He did not want to embarrass Zulaykha. So he did not want to embarrass Zulaykha, but at the same time, he wanted to make sure that when I come out of prison, nobody should think ill of me. So in a very subtle way, the common women of Egypt that were there, they were invited by Zulaykha. So he just directed to them in a very subtle way. He did not even say that, you know what, even these women, when they saw me, this is what had happened and this is why I made it. Very humble. In such a beautiful way. He says, no, can you ask the king to inquire what happened to those ladies? Are they okay now? What's happened? Now he is saying, are they okay? But an intelligent man will understand that what Yusuf is trying to tell me. And the king was intelligent. The king was very, very intelligent. And he knew. And so what he did, he personally looked into this case. And at that time the ladies were there, and also the Zulaykha was there. The governor's wife was also there, as mentioned in the last session. Now, what do we learn from this verse? Our scholars have mentioned, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, that from this verse we learn that a person should always try to present himself in such a way, or he should not put himself in a position where somebody might doubt him. Where somebody might doubt him. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اتقوا بموازع التهمة. Look, save yourself from doing things in which possibly somebody could cast tohmat on you. Allegations, accusations, or possibly somebody can do that. That is why you see the mahram, gair mahram issue in Islam, that, you know, you have to be very, just today now, somebody ran, Mrs. Malisan, Assalamu alaikum. You know, I've been married now for 1 month, and my wife and my in-laws, I'm new, so I go to my in-laws and everybody. But there's another young man that comes to the house, and my mother-in-law takes him to be like a son, but not a son. So when you are not a son, like a son, there's a lot of difference, right? But then, very casually, I see him talking with my wife and smiling and joking. And when I say to my wife and when I say to my mother-in-law that, you know what, I don't like this man, how he talks to my wife, the family say, you are an extremist. What is the family calling him? Extremist. Lo, behold, Allahu Akbar, what is the world going through? Where a husband is loving the wife, trying to say that, you know what, I'm married to you now. I don't like men just talking to you, you know, casually. Okay, you went to the shop and, you know, you had to talk to somebody in an emergency. Understandable. Just like you would not want, you know, myself or somebody to talk, another lady to talk to me and laugh and do that. So, now the shaitan, what he does is that he will twist. What will he do? Twist the mind. Most of the people today have this twisted mind. What is it? Most of the people have this twisted mind. Instead of looking into the matter, yes, you know what? There have been incidents then where marriages break and shaitan comes, and then there's, you know, the doors of affairs an illicit relationship that open up, let me come in and take control. No, no, it's okay. We live in a modern world. We're in England. You know, where are you, man? Where do you live? You know, you're an extremist. What are you? Molly Saab ka dar sunte sunte, you became an extremist. You've been listening to the Molly Saab too much. Allahu Akbar. If you listen to the Molly Saab will guide you what is right and what is wrong. Right? Because he speaks what the Quran is saying. So this is what the Quran is telling us, that save yourself from such scenarios that somebody could doubt you. Somebody could doubt you. Now sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes the situation is that you can't help it. It's understandable. But then sometimes you can do something to avoid, you know, an unnecessary situation. You could avoid it. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, look at Yusuf alayhi salam. How intelligent he was. Look at him. Allah's Nabi saying, you know, he blocks it and he says, no, I'm not going to go out. He already knew. Look at the wisdom that Allah gave him. He knew that if I have given the king this message of how, what to do during drought, he might want to put me in a position. And if he puts me in a position, and if people are around me, if they have to listen to me, they have to listen to me. They will only listen to me if they don't doubt me at all. If they don't doubt me at all. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one evening was talking to a lady. So he was talking to a lady and there were people who were passing by, onlookers. So they were looking at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he passed by. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called that sahabi and said, look, you know what, let me just say something to you, that this lady that I am talking to is my wife. So he started crying, O Nabi of Allah, can I doubt you? Allah said, no. It's not about doubting, it's about clarity. What is it? It's about teaching the ummah. Little things make a lot of difference in life. What is it? Thori thori baate, wazahat karde, clarity. If you clarify something, you know, what is your text message? That is different. What is your phone call? That is different. Subhanallah. Clarifying things. So this is what Sharia is telling us in what we learn about Yusuf alayhi salam's story, that he declined. He declined. And why? Because it is the sunnah of the prophets. That is why there is one incredible line in the Quran. Every Nabi said to their people, فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِّن قَبْلِ. That look, have I not lived a long life amongst you? What would they say to them? Have we not lived amongst you a long life? Bari umar humne tumhare andar zindagi guzari. Why would they say that? To win their confidence that look, if you have witnessed that I as a Nabi, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I stayed amongst you for how many years? 40 years. How many years? 40 years. And in the 40 years, Allah's Nabi asked them, that I want to ask you one question. Have you ever witnessed from me kidb? Kidb means something that is false. Have you witnessed in me something that is false? Or that Allah said, everyone to even think like this, that Allah's Nabi was lying. Is there a possibility? All of the Kuffar Quraysh said, everyone in Arabia can lie, but not you, O Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi said to them, that now, let me open your logic, your intelligence. If I am not prepared to lie to you, how can I lie to you about Allah? You understand what I'm saying? You don't understand, brothers? If I am not speaking lies to you, then how can I speak lies to you about Allah? Don't you believe me that I am the Nabi of Allah and that Allah has made me a Nabi? So it is about accepting the truth. So the prophets were very, very meticulous when it came to making sure that how they present themselves to the people, that they would have a clear slate. All the time they had a very clear slate. And they would not tolerate any kind of tohmat. Khair. What is amazing, Allahu Akbar. You know, the Quran is so amazing, my respected brothers. From one ayat, from one word, how much knowledge is taken out. Now, when Yusuf alayhi salam declined, what did he do? Yusuf alayhi salam declined. He said that, look, I am not going to come out. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing tafsir of this ayat al-Karima, the same one that I read to you now, that when the guards came and they said that, Yusuf, you are free and the king is calling you and you come out. So he says, no, ma balu niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahunna, look, you know, go and sort this out. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something else. Number one, he said, look at my brother, what a noble man he is, what a great man he is. Look at the level of forbearance and sabr, patience inside him. What did he say? Look at the level of patience, forbearance inside him. So here, he was praising who? Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he said, but, if I was in the place of Yusuf, my brother, I would have immediately accepted the call of the guard and would have wanted to exit the jail. I would have left, exit the jail. Now here, subhanallah, what we see, my respected brothers, is a kind of contradiction. On one hand, Huzur alayhi salam, what did he say? He praised Yusuf alayhi salam. He's a man of sabr, forbearance. My brother, look at him, what a man he is. But I, and this is in Bukhari Sharif, I would have left the prison. I would have left the prison. And in another hadith, in another narration, he went as far as saying, do you remember when the butler came in prison and then he asked Yusuf alayhi salam, how are you? Are you a Siddiq? You remember that verse? Are you a Siddiq or truthful Yusuf? You know, he didn't even say the king has seen a dream. He says, you know, can you tell me the meaning of this dream? Allah's Nabi says that the first time when the butler came to him, I would not have explained to him the meaning of the dream. I would have put a condition that I will only explain to you after my release. After my release. Now here we see Huzur alayhi salam saying something, and we see Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam doing something else. Two great prophets. Now let me put this in your mind first. Of course, the highest status is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody can be compared to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah had blessed him with the highest level. The Quran says, Asa in yaba'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda, that nobody has been given the maqam of Mahmud. Allah has given maqam Mahmud to who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody has been given the pond of Kawthar. Inna a'tayna kal Kawthar. Only Rasulullah. Nobody has been given this honor that until you like my Nabi Muhammad, I will like you. That is only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this? Very important for us to understand. There are many people today who suffer from ego. What is it? Ego. Takabbur. What is it? If you ask anybody, they will say, no, no, I've got no takabbur. But the disease is inside the heart. What is it? They find it very difficult to praise someone even if he is inferior to him. If he is inferior to him. You will find people who are prepared to give charity. What are they? They will give money instantly. So they are very generous when it comes to money. But they are not generous, they are misers spiritually. What are they? So they can give money, but they can't praise their fellow Muslim brother. They can't praise their fellow Muslim brother. Now imagine if somebody is in a higher position, that person himself is in a higher position, but sometimes someone who is low to him has achieved something that is remarkable, that is something very, very beautiful. So you will find that the ego inside a person will stop him from praising that person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to us that never ever do that. A man of Iman should always thank Allah, and that even if you are in a superior position, someone who is not to your level has achieved something, praise him. What should you do? Praise him. So your wife has done rotis and she's done a lot of mehnat. Give me the towel. I'm going. Bichari, Allah ki bandi. You know, the wife, she thinks, you know what, I prepared the food, I, you know, did so much mehnat. Not once from this mungo insan. Not once from this mungo insan. Words came out that, you know, mashallah, today you made so nice food, eh? What beautiful food. Oh, I love you. Mashallah. Your rotis today, I nearly bit my fingers. Oh, Umar Farooq is saying, oh, take it easy, Mauli son. Which wife will make rotis today? Lucky people eat rotis today. What is it? Alhamdulillah, I eat rotis. You know? Lucky people eat rotis. What is it? Otherwise, today the wife don't know how, they make square rotis. Women don't know how to make rotis today. Then nobody, it's hard man to do rotis. What is it? Oh, well and say, you karna. Yeah, but they go to, you know, fast. They just buy bread and they do this and easy like that. But you know, hot food served on the table, mashallah, and you're eating as a family and you do shukr. That is love. You know, Bibi Fatima did a lot of effort preparing food. There's nothing wrong with that. But when do you praise your wife? When do you praise your wife? You might think, you know what, I'm the husband, I'm the one who does everything. So what? When have you praised your child? When have you actually said, no, you know what, Allah has blessed me with beautiful children. You know, my children are beautiful. Alhamdulillah. You know, my child, I'm happy with you today. I'm happy with you. You know, when have we praised our workers, people who are working? Oh no, no, mashallah. You know. When do we praise one another? We don't. Allah's Nabi is teaching that I am the greatest. But you know, I want you to see a salient feature in my brother. And this is his tawazu, humility. What is it? This is the humility and humbleness of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is bringing Yusuf right on the top. What is he? By saying, I wouldn't do what he did. Oh, Allah's Nabi and his sabr. Subhanallah. You can't compare Yusuf alayhi salam to my Nabi. You can't compare him. But teaching the Ummah, what was he doing? Teaching the Ummah. Learn. Just because you have something and now somebody else is doing it, it should not stop you from praising him, because he is your Muslim brother. He is a man of Iman. Thank him. Talk to him and say, you know what? Wonderful. MashaAllah, man. Hands out to you. Bhai. Bada chagam kiya. Bada chagam. Learn how to praise people, my respected brothers. This is something that we lack today. And because of that, people don't know how much that person loves me. The wife doesn't know how much the husband loves me. The husband doesn't know how much the wife loves me. The children don't know how much the parents love me. The parents don't know how much the children love me. The neighbor doesn't know how much this neighbor loves me. The workers don't know, you know, how am I in front of my boss? What is it? Kabini? Ye bas aisi paagalon ki duniya mein hum chal rahe hain. Allah's Nabi actually taught us this. But ulama have given us another important reason, another very important reason, together with this reason. What is it? Together with this reason. Allah's Nabi said this. What did he say? I would have opted to come out unconditionally. What is it? I would have opted to come out from the prison unconditionally. Why? Allah's Nabi said this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his ummah. What is it? And he showed the ummah that there is two approach in life. How many approaches? Two approaches. One is an individual approach where a person's taqwa and his connection to Allah is at such a level that his reliance upon Allah is so much like Yusuf alayhi salam that he could put conditions. What is it? Now, there might be someone who is reading the tafsir of Yusuf alayhi salam and thinking, you know what, now I should have all my reliance upon Allah like Yusuf alayhi salam and close myself away from practical and pragmatic things. Allah's Nabi chose the option which generally would be easy for the common man. What did he choose? An option which is easy generally for the common man. Because the common man's taqwa is not to the level of Yusuf alayhi salam. It's not. You see, once Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, what happened is that in his zikr majlis, somebody said, Hazrat, you know, these people are eating very good food, you know, and they are doing zikr, fikr, and they, you know, you have to take some food away from them to make them do rozas and all that. In his khanqa. So Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, that's a good idea. So he made them do fast and, you know, soup without meat and curry and, you know, everything. Great mujahada in food. So now when people were coming, nobody could even do the zikr of Allah. So Hazrat would see, what's happening? Why are people? So Hazrat realized that the people have become weak. What are they? So Hazrat said, no, give them enough food. What is it? The common man is not to that level. And Allah's Nabi wanted to show ease to his ummah that it should not be just because you've seen Yusuf alayhi salam's decision, you make this decision as your life decision in everything. Remember, you can also choose another option. Why? Because sometimes kings are very stubborn. If that king was stubborn, and if he says, oh, I'm giving you the option to leave, and you are not listening to me, you stay in the dungeon now for the rest of your life. What would happen then? You know, people are like that. People don't care. I told you once, you didn't take it, so be it. So Allah's Nabi taught this ummah that every time you might be in a situation, different situation would mean that you have to make a different choice in life. So Allah's Nabi taught us this, that one is the choice of Yusuf alayhi salam, and one was the pragmatic, practical choice of who? Rasulullah sallallahu. He didn't want any difficulty. He did not pray Taraweeh. But we pray Taraweeh. Why did he not pray Taraweeh? He said it. He said that upon my ummah, salah 5 times a day is already farz. If I was to pray Taraweeh every day, I fear that it might become farz. So he left it to the fuqaha that you decide. Look, I have done it, so that means it is my sunnah. Now leave the choice to people. What is it? So Islam is all about ease. Allah's Nabi, at times he would do sabr. What is it? At times he would do sabr. And at times he would show his anger. Very amazing incidents. Allah's Nabi, in the early days, he's praying namaz in Makkah Mukarramah. Kaaba is in front. He's praying salah. In the early years, and in Makkah, Abu Jahl was there, and his cronies were with him. So he said to the group of people that, look, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not fear us anymore. Openly now he's praying salah in front of us. So he says, how should we do masti on him, aliyazubil? How should we mock him? So it was decided that there was a camel that was slaughtered. So the abdominal waste, the intestines that are left, the abdominal waste that is there. You know, camels are huge animals. So there's a lot of waste that is there that people won't eat. So all the intestines, it was decided that, you know what? When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes for sajda, 3 or 4 of them picked up the abdominal waste of the camel and we will place it on his head at the back whilst he is in sajda and in namaz. Be sharam, be haya. The khabisoon of this dunya, this is what they did. So what they did is that they took it, and Allah's Nabi went for sajda. In sujood, they placed the filth upon Huzur alayhi salam. So everything was bloody. The blood was coming on the shoulders of Huzur alayhi salam. The filth was there. And Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was struggling to lift up his head. At that time, the tension was so much in Makkah Mukarrama that people would not even walk around as such openly to pray their namaz. And so nobody was there. And it was the brave daughter of Huzur alayhi salam. The brave daughter of Huzur alayhi salam. Allah give us the tawfiq that we become brave also. My respected brothers and elders, to be patriotic is natural. To be patriotic is natural. We are from England, we love England. You are from India, you like India, no problem. You are from Pakistan, you like Pakistan, no problem. You are from Bangladesh, you like Bangladesh, no problem. We don't have a problem with that. But patriotism should not blind you, should not blind you from seeing zulm and oppression. What is it? It should not blind you from seeing zulm and oppression. Your country comes later. Allah and His Rasul come first. Your iman comes first. Thak gaya hoon, kaun ko samjha. Your iman comes first. Forget your nationality. Don't boast who you are. What have I got to do with Pakistan? Am I a Pakistani? What have I got to do with Pakistan? What have I got to do with India? Maine to zindagi Africa aur UK mein guzari. But iman, what is it? Iman, your connection with iman. That is your identity. What is it? Everything else comes secondary. If you don't have feelings, just because somebody is living in that part of the world and we are living in this part of the world, then that is nifaq. What is it? Hypocrisy that has entered your heart. Allah save us. Allah save us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Main abhi dekhkar aaya aisi aisi cheeze. Honestly, sometimes the things that you see, you feel that, you know, you should just put yourself in a cave and close it and don't come out. Like people have got no brains. People have got no brains, as if they can't make simple choices in life. The brave girl of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam's daughter, Fatima, she came and she looked at Abu Jahl and all of the munafiqeen and the kuffar that were there in anger. It was close that she would take action, but her father was in that position. She came and she was crying and she removed the filth from her father's neck and she hugged the father and embraced him in salah. These were the daughters that loved Allah and His Rasul. Today, look at our daughters. Look at our young ones today. You tell them about Islam, they don't understand about Islam. They argue with you. They fight with you. They call you extremists. They think you are wrong. Your father is wrong. Your masjid is wrong, aliyazu billah. What is left, only left is for them to utter the words of kufr, bas. But they don't do it. Allah knows what is the reason. And she hugged Huzur alayhi salam. And then Allah's Nabi immediately finished his namaz. Look at Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq. A man who knew when to do sabr. A man who knew when to do sabr. But did he do sabr here? Did he do sabr here? No, he didn't. Teaching this ummah that don't be a pessimist. Don't always think sabr, 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 sabr. No. Allah's Nabi finished his namaz. Allah's Nabi stood up. Allahu Akbar. What a man he was. And the daughter was standing. He stood up and he raised his hands in front of Allah. And they knew that Makkah zone is a zone where your du'as are accepted. And they knew, despite the fact that they were kuffar, that what this man says, 100% it will happen. They did not have iman, they had yaqeen on Huzur alayhi salam's words. Allah's Nabi lifted up his hands and says, Ya Allah, you are my witness to what they did to your Nabi. Allah, you are enough, and you are enough to punish them on my behalf. Ya Allah, Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl. Allah, make sure that your wrath is upon Abu Jahl. Your wrath is upon that person. Kill that person, kill that person. And he mentioned the names of every one of them. When they heard this from Huzur alayhi salam, they knew that this was the end of them. The scholars say in the battle of Badr, every kafir was killed and their bodies were thrown in the well of Badr. Their bodies were thrown in the well of... This is the beauty of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He teaches the ummah to make the right decisions and how to live. How to live. Sometimes you do suffer, sometimes you don't do suffer. Sometimes there's a time for you to speak, sometimes not the time for you to speak. The Quran is explaining, Allah's Nabi spoke out. Yusuf alayhi salam did that because of his taqwa. Because of his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But not every man, the common man cannot do that. So the common man can even opt for an easy option that, you know what, oh ho, I need to come out from prison quickly. And if he does so, there is nothing wrong with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. My respected brothers and elders, these were a few very important points that we learn. And it is something that we learn and it will assist us every day in our life. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, whatever he has said, it is amazing. It is amazing. Allah's Nabi warned us about Dajjal. Allah's Nabi warned us about Dajjal. So there was this young boy who said to the Imam Sahib that, Mawlana Sahib, I think, you know, Allah's Nabi had warned the Muslims too much about the coming of Dajjal. But I don't think that is the case. You know why? Because Allah's Nabi has said, on the forehead of Dajjal will be his symbol. What will be his symbol? What is the cross? Sorry, what is the symbol? Kafara. Kafara. So kafara is a symbol. Just like Hitler had a symbol and the right wing Hindu have a symbol. If you just slightly tilt it, the swastik symbol, what is it? The swastika symbol matches the symbol of Adolf Hitler. What is it? Adolf Hitler symbol and the Hindu extreme right-wing people, the symbol is the same. Only one is tilted and one is in a different position. Otherwise, it is the same. So, what is the symbol of Dajjal? So, the symbol of Dajjal, Allah's Nabi said, Kafara. What is it? Kafara. Kafara. That is the symbol. Now, somebody had a car, it had a front plate number as KFR. So I just had a joke. I said, brother, you know what? I think it's better you change the car. So is it haram? I said, no, it's not haram. But you know what? It's just difficult to see this now. You know, as a Maulana, you've read what it is. Kafara. And then you say, KFR. What is it? And I didn't want him to get, you know, emotional about it. I said, no, but just, you know, if you can't sell it, you know. KFR. Khair. Kafara is on the forehead. So already the marking is on his forehead. The Muslims will see. They will know he's Dajjal. So why will they follow him? Why will they? True, isn't it? When openly there is a sign. You know, when you see the building outside, it says Masjid Umar. So what is that telling you? It's a mosque. It's a masjid. You come inside and pray. So he will have the symbol Kafir. Ka. Every Muslim will know he's a Kafir. And he will, they will turn away from Dajjal. But why? Huzur alayhi salam would emphasize so much about Dajjal. There's so much mention about him. Maulvi to Maulvi hota, Imam Sahib is Imam Sahib. Imam Sahibs are clever people, aren't they? They are, eh? Yeah, better say yes. So, Imam Sahib said to this young lad, this boy, beta, look. Allah's Nabi, what he says, he's always right. The emphasis is there because of a reason. He says, how many times you have seen on a cigarette packet which tells you that by smoking you will die, this is cancer. But has that stopped people smoking? Has that stopped people smoking? It's on the box. Is it not on the box? What is on the box? Smoking causes cancer. Smoking causes cancer. A human being is so weak that a cigarette packet which is telling him that this will cause you cancer, and he is so weak that he still wants to smoke, then what about the greatest magician that the world has ever seen that will come to fool you and deceive you? Do you think that the kafara and the level of your iman, the strength of your iman is so strong that you will turn away from the jab? That is for people to answer. That if you cannot stop watching things that are wrong, that if you cannot stop doing things that are wrong and you know they are wrong, then even if something is as obvious as kafara, the weakness in a human being can be such that it can also drag him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, my respected brothers, we will continue from the 13th para in the next session. Wa akhiru da'wana.
Alhamdulillah. Brothers can just close their eyes for a few minutes.